would like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. I would like to read from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7, 8, and 9. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7, 8, and 9. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. Lord, we thank you that we have a great helper. We have one that is able to deliver us and strengthen us and to provide all that we need every day of our lives. We're thankful thou hast blessed us to understand that we're weak and frail creatures, and we do need thy help, and we're thankful that thou art a very present help in time of trouble. We know, Lord, that there are many who stand in great need of thy help this night. We pray that you would bless all of thy children, wherever they might be, those who have special problems and burdens, families that are having trouble, those that are sick and afflicted, and those who have lost loved ones. We just ask you, Lord, to bless all of them. Pray especially that you would be with those in the nursing homes and in convenient care and all the other places, special places. We pray that you would bless them and help them and bless all the elderly, that they would receive good care in the different places where they're staying. We thank you, Lord, for those who give and provide care and attention to those who stand in great need. Bless all the nurses and the doctors and all those that help them. We pray that you would give them the strength and grace they need every day to be kind and loving with all those that they work with. Again, now we beg thy blessings upon us as we try to read and study thy holy word. We need your help, and we ask you to help us and bless us as you alone are able to do. We pray that you would bless us during this coming week. We do thank you, Lord, for the rain that you've sent upon the earth. We pray that you would continue to send the showers of rain. You would water the earth, and we pray that you would help us all not just to seek the natural rain, but the spiritual showers of blessings. We ask these blessings in the precious and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, the Word of God says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I pray that God will help us all to remember the things that we studied this morning about sowing and reaping and about mocking God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. The main thing I want us to do tonight is to go through and look at various places in the Word of God where the principle of sowing and reaping and reaping what we sow. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Of course, we looked this morning at sowing to the flesh and reaping corruption, and sowing to the Spirit and reaping life everlasting. But tonight I want us to look at the Word of God, and I've been amazed this week as I have meditated and studied and different scriptures have come to my mind. I've been amazed at all the different ways that the Word of God reemphasizes that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, that we reap what we sow. It's caused me to be more careful about everything as I have thought and meditated on the fact that whatever I sow, I am going to reap. Begin our study tonight. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. And I want you to notice verse 37. There are three different things that are mentioned in Luke chapter 6, verse 37, that emphasize that whatever we sow, we're going to reap. It's expressed in a little different way, but I think that you'll see clearly that this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 6 and verse 37 tells us that we'd better not do some things, because if we do them, we're going to receive the same thing that we do. Luke chapter 6 and verse 37, it's expressed in a negative way, but it says, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged." Now, what's the positive way you would say that? If you judge, you're going to be judged. judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Is that sowing and reaping exactly what we do? If we render personal judgment, I want to just reemphasize, I think the church knows and understands that the Word of God says that we are to judge righteous judgment. God's Word emphasizes that. The Word of God tells us that the church has responsibility to judge her members, that when a member walks contrary to the teaching of the Word of God, is the church supposed to carry out godly judgment in the church? Certainly. But is there a difference in the church carrying out righteous judgment and me carrying out personal judgment? For example, if I see you do something and I conclude or I say, well, I know why he did that, I better be careful. That's judging why you did something. That's based on my thought and my feeling, and that's not righteous judgment when I conclude why you did something. So he says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. And the second statement he makes in verse 37, Luke 6, 37, is condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Do some of us have a problem of judging contrary to what God's Word says and with condemning contrary to what God's Word says that we ought to be doing? Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. If I do judge in the wrong way, I'm going to be judged in the wrong way. If I do condemn in a wrong way, am I going to reap what I sow? I will be condemned in a wrong way. And then the third thing he says in that 37th verse, he says, forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Now, is that sowing and reaping in those three different statements he's making there? Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Is it important that we forgive one another? Is it sometimes hard to forgive? Does it take the grace of God for us to forgive when somebody has really offended us? Does it take the grace of God to forgive? But now listen, if I remember the principle of sowing and reaping, I want you to forgive me, and I want everybody else to forgive me, and I want God to forgive me. And God's Word says that if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. But if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father in heaven will also forgive you your trespasses. Is that the principle of sowing and reaping? So far we've mentioned three things. First of all, judge not that you be not judged. Condemn not that you be not condemned. And forgive and you will be forgiven. All that is sowing and reaping. And then the fourth thing in the same passage in verse 38. Look at verse 38. He gives us another completely different category of sowing and reaping. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. Is that sowing and reaping? Giving and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, Shall men give to your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Do you see the principle of sowing and reaping? That whatsoever a man soweth, if I sow ungodly things, if I sow judging and condemnation to people, I'm going to receive judging and condemnation, ungodly judging and condemnation. But if I forgive, I will be forgiven. And if I give to other people, it will be given back to me also. Another statement that just came to my mind is a man that will have friends must what? He must show himself friendly. Is that sowing and reaping? If I want to have friends, I have to be friendly to other people. And all through the Word of God, God keeps telling us that we need to be friendly, that we need to forgive, that we don't need to judge, that we need to give to other people. Giving, I think, probably when I think about sowing and reaping, giving is the main thing that usually comes to my mind. Giving and the importance of giving. And if you give, will it be given back to you? Will you receive blessings also if you give to help other people? And if you give a little amount Tell me what you're going to get back. Listen again. If you give a little amount, what are you going to get back? Okay. Whatsoever, the same measure that you give with, see, this is explained in verse 38, that with the same measure that you give, it's that same measure that's going to be given back to you. If you give a little bit, you're going to receive back a little bit. But if you give a lot, if you are free-hearted and giving the way it's expressed, look in your Bibles at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 at the wording there, and expresses it, I think, more beautifully than even here in Luke 6, or at least as beautifully as Luke 6. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is still talking about giving, about the importance of giving. How often do we give? We talked about this morning in our Bible study. When is the main time of year that we give? Somebody tell me, when is the main time of year that we forgive? Christmas, that we give. Is it Christmas? And really, most of the giving that most people do at Christmas is not really giving, it's just exchanging gifts. You know, you give me a $20 gift, I'll give you a $20 gift. We just exchange gifts. But giving, the way the Word of God is talking about, is when we find people that are not able to give back to us, but we give to them out of gratitude to God, and we give abundantly, and we give, I'm going to say till it hurts, but we give abundantly. Give a lot. And this is the way it's expressed in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also." Is he going to reap? If you sow sparingly, will you reap? Yes. But you'll reap to the same measure that you sowed. "He that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, but he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Now listen carefully to verse 7. "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Have you ever known anybody that was a cheerful giver? Have you ever known anybody that just found joy in giving? They really enjoyed giving. They really enjoyed doing things. And it doesn't have to be giving money. It doesn't have to be giving a cake or giving food. It can just be giving of their time and giving of their energy. There are people that are very giving people, and they sow. What's the expression here when they give a lot? What's the expression? They sow bountifully and they reap. Do they also reap bountifully? When a person gives a lot, they sow bountifully and they reap bountifully. God loveth a what? Cheerful giver. Have you ever given but you gave just because you felt like you had to give? You take like United Way and some of those organizations that ask for money, different things like that. Sometimes I give, but it's not really out of a heart of wanting to give. But then there are other times that we give because we really feel like, now, this is a cause, this is a good cause, this is something that I really want to do, and you're happy to give, and you give bountifully, and that's the kind of gift that pleases God. And when you give bountifully because you love God and you love God's people, if you give bountifully, will you one day need somebody to give to you? Do you think you'll one day need people to give to you? If you live very long, you're going to need people to give you. You may just need them to give you some love. You need just give them for them to give you attention. You may just need them to give you some help in some way, or you may need some financial help. But whatever it is that you need, whatever you've been giving, and you've been giving bountifully, God's promised now, and God can't lie, that whatsoever a man soweth, if I sow sparingly, I'm going to reap sparingly. But if I sow bountifully, if I'm free-hearted and giving to help other people, I'm going to reap bountifully. I think that God said it another way in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. He says that we're to bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse. Is that still giving? We're just talking about giving right now. And that if we give sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. But if we give bountifully, we will also reap bountifully. And Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 tells us to bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse. And then the Word of God says that God says, and I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on you so that you can't even receive them. Now that's good giving, isn't it? Good receiving. That's bountiful receiving. If I give in service to God, if I give my tithes and offerings, do I have a promise from God that He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on my life? Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 5. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 5, there's something else here that's another category of sowing and reaping. This is in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. We're still talking about whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, somebody tell me again now, what are the four things that we've talked about so far? Number one is that if you sow judging, what are you going to reap? You're going to reap judging. If you sow condemnation, if you're always condemning people, what are you going to reap? You're going to reap condemning. The third thing is if you forgive, what are you going to reap? Forgiveness. And if you give, what will you receive? You'll receive things back to you. Another way it's expressed is in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1. Sow your bread, cast your bread on the waters, and in many days it will return unto you. Is that the principle of sowing and giving taught again in God's Word? Now, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, there's something else besides judging and condemning and forgiving and giving. But in Matthew 5 verse 7, the Scripture says this. The Word of God says, Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, what does it mean to be merciful? What does it mean for you to be merciful? Think about what does it mean. Think about a time that you could be merciful. Think about a time, think about a way that you could be merciful. And think about a way that you could need mercy. Have you ever needed mercy? Is there anybody here that has ever needed mercy? Did you know every one of us needs mercy? We not only need mercy from God, we need mercy as far as us getting along with one another in our lives. We need for our brothers and sisters in Christ to be merciful toward us. But above everything else, we need God to be merciful to us. And so the Scripture says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The more merciful we are in our dealings with mankind, in our dealings with other people, the more merciful we are, the more mercy is going to be shown toward us. It's still the principle of whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you sow sparingly in giving mercy, you say, well, I'm just going to give you a little mercy. You're going to reap what? Just a little mercy. But if you sow bountifully and you're extremely merciful, what will you reap? You'll reap an extreme amount of mercy. Go with me to another scripture. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Jesus makes this statement. We're trying to look at what the Word of God says about whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're talking about sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. In Matthew chapter 10, listen to verses 32 and 33. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Now, what does it mean for us to confess Christ before men? One thing it means is that when we have the opportunity to unite with the church and to make a public confession that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that He has saved His people from their sins, that's a public confession, and Jesus says that if we confess him before men, he says, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Now, is it a serious thing not to confess Christ? Is it a serious thing to fail to confess Christ? Indeed it is. Now, he says in the next verse, he says, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. I'm going to tell you what I believe and understand this to teach. I believe that Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. He's the only mediator between God and man. And that when I confess him before men, and are there a lot of other ways besides joining the church and confessing Christ that we confess Christ or deny Christ? In our daily walk, in our daily activities, we either confess Christ or deny Christ every day. On our jobs, we're either confessing Christ or denying Christ every day. In our homes, we're either confessing Christ or denying Christ every day of our lives. So don't think that just because you walk down the aisle and confess Christ that you fulfill what Jesus is talking about. That's a very limited portion of what it means to confess Christ. And Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. And I believe that that means that when I go to God in prayer, and I go through Christ to the Father, if I have been living a life that is confessing my love for Jesus, if I have been confessing Him before men day by day, when I go to my Father in prayer, guess who's going to carry my prayer to the Father and confess me before my Father? It's Jesus Christ. And if I've been denying Christ before men, if I have not been trying to live in such a way that I confess that Jesus is not just my Savior, but that Jesus is my Lord, if I've been confessing that by the way I live, what's Jesus going to do when I try to go to the Father? He's going to confess me before the Father. He's going to take my petition to the Father if I have been confessing Him before men. But if I've been denying Him before men, He'll deny me before my Father which is in heaven. Is that sowing and reaping? Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Love. Is love something else that we need to sow? Love toward God and love towards one another. The more love you sow, don't you receive more love? The more love you sow towards God, does God manifest more love towards you in your life? Yes, He does. John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Is that showing our love for God? Is by keeping His commandments. And then Jesus says, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. The Father and the Son will come and manifest Himself to us and love us if we love Him. Is that sowing and reaping? Love, reap. Sowing love for God and reaping love from God. Another expression that is made in the Scriptures is James 4:8. The Word of God says, draw nigh to God, and He'll what? He'll draw nigh to you. Isn't it amazing, as you think about all the different things the Word of God says, that it all boils down to this one little simple statement, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow kindness, you sow love, you sow mercy, you sow giving, you sow forgiving, and you'll reap all of those things in your life. So anything you want, anything that you desire that God manifests towards you, you start showing that towards Him and His people, because whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.